Welcome to Harvest Amarillo Podcast. We're excited you have chosen to listen in today. May God encourage you through this message to live a life of value, of fullness, and fruitfulness for His kingdom.
All right, church. So, part three now of this Freedom in Christ series. Man, I tell you what, if you missed any of it, we're going to have to go back and listen. Hold on, my notes were just randomly up here, not in order. I apologize. Okay, go back and listen to him because the first week, Pastor Curtis, he was here and he was kicking us off talking about the second innocence, that we have the ability to, as soon as we receive Jesus into our hearts, we get to experience what we call the second innocence. It's the faith like a child, because at some point in your life happened and you lost your innocence. But because of the cross, we can experience a new innocence. I love seeing Pastor Curtis stand up here with the big chair and the little chair, big me, little me. And you can always speak to a friend who maybe has gone through a life experience and say, I love you. God loves you. We forgive you. You're forgiven. All this is great. But then if you put yourself in that same spot, you know, what could you say to yourself? So I love that talk. Go and listen to that. Last week, we had Mr. Audie Waite speak, talk to us about the free gift of righteousness. And, I mean, I'd never heard of that growing up whenever I received Jesus into my heart. But you, because of the cross, we all receive the free gift of righteousness. I'm righteous today. You're righteous. We're all righteous, man. That's us today. And as soon as we receive that, this is a whole new perspective on life. It totally changes the game. Because there's so much more going on at the cross than I realized. Jesus didn't just go to the cross to die to forgive me of my sins, but Jesus went to the cross to be my source of righteousness. He went to the cross so that we can experience a second innocence. Again, this is a game changer. So as for between God and me, it is as it should be, between God and me today. So why don't we walk around in this confidence? Why don't we receive this free gift, the title of righteousness? Why can't we step into this second innocence? And I will tell you, for many of us, the markings of our past disqualifications are defining us more today than the markings of the cross. I'll say that again, the markings of our past sins, our past own disqualifications, are speaking louder to our hearts today than the markings of the cross. Before I came onto ministry, before I came onto staff here at the church, I worked for a home builder, and for many years, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to build homes. And I didn't really have the qualifications. I didn't go to school. I didn't do many things. The only really thing I did was I was a cabinet maker for like 10 years. I took two different shops. I worked for like Atmos and some cabling people. I did some other things. So I knew a lot, a little bit through field experience. But I ended up getting this position, and I wasn't the home builder. I was more of like the second command with him. He was calling all the shots. But what I got to do is I got to get up and it's really getting this big old truck that he gave me to drive. And I got to go to the job site with my coffee and sit there and supervise while everyone else did all the work. Dream job, right? And I actually liked to do some of the work too, setting doors, doing a bunch of trim stuff. And I remember like my second week on the job, I mean, we needed some trim done, but the trimmers were going to be a while. So I got in there and did a bunch of the work. And so it was the best of both worlds. I loved it. I was now becoming a home builder. And then one day we had a job, and it was a remodel job, and we had to replace the front door. And I don't know whose fault it was, but you know, either the front door was ordered too small or the brickers made it a little bit too wide. It doesn't matter. But I set the door, and so I had to add a lot of shims to the side of it. Shims are little fillers for wood to go inside the door to attach it to the brick and to the house. And afterwards, now I had to go cut these shims and break them off, right? So I put door casing around it. Got me a new blade, started going, cutting all the shims, and I got down to the bottom, and I cut it, and now I had to go break it off, and I broke it really hard, and my wrist went right into the blade. Yeah, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, and I had the split moment where it wasn't bleeding. I got to see like halfway through my body. I was like, oh my goodness. And then what was my first reaction, of course, is to cover up. I went and got a towel and wrapped it around and tied it, pulled my shirt down so no one could see it. It hurt. But then I was like, I'm good. Because what happened? I'm the boss. I'm the supervisor. No one can see me bleed, right? No one needs to see that I'm disqualified now. And I went for a week or so, and it was just brutal. Finally, I went to the doctor and found out that my nerve was barely hanging on. I cut it in half. No wonder my thumb was losing feeling every day. So I had to have surgery, and now I have this awesome scar, which actually was a shark bite. Let me tell you that. I mean, it was actually a shark that bit me. That's what that is. That's what I tell everyone. It's really cool. It changes colors if I'm hot or cold. It's pretty cool. It's like a mood ring. But I have a scar now from that moment. You know, I received the title of the builder, which I finally got, but then I made a mistake, and now I have a scar to prove it. See, this is our life. These are our thoughts. See, I know I was born again. I know I received Jesus in my heart. I know that I can receive this free gift of righteousness, but I don't feel very righteous right now. I know what I've done, my past, and I know that Jesus knows, and there's no way that he can forgive me of my past. Did you not know that if this is just in my family, my dad, my dad's dad, this is just who I am. This sin that I have is just in my members. It is what it is. But here's the good news, church. Through the gospel, you can experience an empowering grace so that you can overcome. And whenever you realize that you're made righteous by Jesus, because grace is the power to live free from the power, the pull, the twists of sin. Romans 5:21 says, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first point I would make is really as a question this morning. I would ask you this. What are the markings of your heart? What are the markings of sin, of disqualifications in your own life? What are the markings of your heart speaking over you today? What are they speaking? Because I tell you, again, the markings of our past disqualifications are defining us more today than the markings of the cross. You know, growing up, man, I did everything right, okay? I went to the right church. I received Jesus in my heart when I was 12 years old. I went to the right school. I wore the right clothes. Still do. I played the right sports. I dated the right girls. On the outside, I was the polished, all-American boy. But on the inside, a full-out war was going on. Everything, I was tempted every day to do everything the world told me, which was what was right in the world's life, in culture's eyes. Never knowing about the power that was inside of me to help me overcome this situation. And then before too long, my life became an MTV episode of 16 and Pregnant. I'm serious. So this girl and I, we started dating. And I tell you, we started about halfway through high school, just after our sophomore year, we started dating. And we were so in love. Our relationship actually started out so pure. It was so much fun. Man, we have so many good stories of things that we did and went. And man, it was so good. But then before too long, if you were here last week, you heard Audie talk about little red legs. Remember little red legs that gets on your shoulder? Start speaking over your life. That's tempting you. That's telling you you're not good enough, or you should do this, or you should do that. And so the next thing you know, I'm hearing little red legs and now find out she's pregnant. I'm marked. I have a new marking now. And everything I did after that point was to cover up so that people wouldn't see the mistake that I made. And now I have this new mark of my life that's speaking shame. And I tell you, those next few years after that was so brutal. and which would lead to one other thing. And then also the next thing, this happens in my life. And before too long, this whole perfect, beautiful heart that I received a long time ago, and things are great, but then next thing you know, markings after one marking after one marking, because I have no clue about the power that's in within me. This pure heart is now marked with sin and disqualifications, right? What I did was wrong, and everything I did after that point was geared to outwork my mistake, to provide financially, with material things, with relationships, hoping to cover up the markings of sin in my life. But I will tell you today, church, that you can only stay mentally engaged for so long, to cover up the markings and the sins and the things we've done in our life. We can only stay engaged for so long that eventually our own self-will fails. And what's on the inside will come out. The markings of my heart only spoke shame as my identity. And my main goal was to outwork my disqualifications, working to get people to forget about what I did, hoping they'd only see good in my life. And really, honestly, at the time, I felt so far away from religion, away from church. Because religion is your attempt to earn righteousness in the promises of God. So I quickly found out that I was probably one of the most religious people out there, trying to earn the righteousness of God. Like Audie talked about the works righteousness. And honestly, through religion, I shouldn't even stand before you today with the title pastor. Because I did it. Church, I did it. I had sex before marriage, and I can't hide it no more. This is my markings. And knowing that, it actually pushed me further from church. I remember going to church with my girlfriend, and she was pregnant just about a month or two away. And after church, the pastor came to my house, well, actually to our townhome, with a pie. I mean, they used to do that. I mean, he still might, I don't know. I mean, that's crazy, a pie. I'm like, yes, pie. And we opened the door, and he's like, hey, welcome, you know, thanks for coming today, and man, so good to meet you, and we hope you come back, here's a pie. And I'm just like, you see her? There ain't nothing yet. Do you not know what we've done? Why are you visiting us? It's like, because I felt disqualified. The sad thing was is that at a young age, I actually felt a call to ministry. But again, I was marked. So after that, I blew it. As believers, you know, we're meant to live a full life free from this power of sin. Not that we would be perfect, but that sin wouldn't dominate our lives. Jesus died and he rose again so that we could be able to actually experience eternal life now, which is freedom in Christ. But why isn't that not my experience right now? What makes me so different from this person over here or from this person? I don't experience that right now. Why is it that the good, bad things always happen to good people? Well, the next thing, point I would say is transforming grace works in you when you believe you're righteous. If you want to live free, then grace is the answer. So what is grace? Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, so like Audie gave you a really fancy definition of righteousness last week, I'll give you kind of a fancy definition of grace. Don't worry about writing it down right now. A fancy definition of grace is God's ability, strength, capacity, power to work in your heart, God's power to overcome. So the definition of grace that I want you to write down is this. Real simple. Here at Harvest, we say this. Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's ability. And I tell you, if you see grace in scriptures, why don't you go back and write God's ability with that grace? Let's reread that last scripture. For by God's ability, you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a free gift. You see, to live a righteous life free from the power of sin, you have to allow God's ability to work in your life. You have to allow His ability to work inside your life. And so that means we have to connect with the Holy Spirit and receive the truth that it's speaking over our life. So this is what it is. So whenever you receive Christ into your heart, right here, okay, we're just going to say, I'm going to do three circles, I'm going to do the Trinity. We receive Jesus into our heart. But I can't connect with God sometimes because of my markings. And you'll experience it too. Sometimes when you have that longing in your heart and you're going through lots of bad things and you're trying to reach the God, but then all of a sudden you come up to a marking, to a scar, a disqualification. Oh, I'm not going back there. Oh my gosh, life is happening again. I need God in my life. Oh, man, my markings are speaking louder than God's truth in my life. And what's hard is too, is that these markings, they actually can actually grow fruit from there. And to make it even harder to get to the Spirit of God, the power of grace that's inside my heart because of all these fruits. And like, if you think you have a drinking problem, well, guess what? You don't have a drinking problem. You might have a shame problem from a past thing that's happened in your life. This happened in your life, and the fruit of it is drinking. Maybe you experienced an abuse whenever you're younger, and the fruit of that, now it's looking at these images. And then whenever you start trying to go to God, all of a sudden you feel shame or you feel lonely, and they say no. So you can't connect with God because of the markings of your life. And so if you can't hear the voice of God, if you can't feel God's presence in your life, it's because you can't connect with your own heart. Today, God might be asking you, hey, can you love me with all your heart? And then he tells us, he's like, you can't love me with all your heart because you won't let me love all of your heart. And you can't love me with all your heart because you hate parts of your own heart. I tell you, through the free gift of righteousness, you are worthy to receive grace. Through the free gift of righteousness, you are worthy to receive Jesus through all the brokenness and all the scars of your life. All we must do is believe. That's it. Romans 12:2, NLT version says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the word transform here is means to morph, to metamorphosis, which means an outward change because of an inward change of nature. And for some of those who might have heard this message before at a Freedom and Cross event that we've had, you know, this is one of my favorite parts of the talk because this whole morph thing totally makes sense to me. For those of you of my age too, you know this too, because we grew up in the age of the Power Rangers, yo. Yeah. And the new movie explains it even better. I love it. Because what happened? They received this little crystal ball. I mean, it's like a rock. I can't remember what it was, a coin or something. And that was their power. They received it. And then the next morning, they're like, oh my goodness, I'm so much stronger and cooler, and right? And then they go through a process of learning that everything they need to transform is inside of them. They just had to believe. And so then whenever bad guys come, when life is getting tough, what do? Morphin time! Right? And then what's on the inside came out. And all of you laugh, but you know this, because all of you wanted to be a superhero at one point. Now I know you put on the cape and the mask, and you transformed, right? My son Jude transforms every week when he puts on his hockey gear. He's like, ah, and I'm like, yeah, this is fun. So it's like, so when did the caterpillar become a butterfly? Or when did the acorn become an oak tree? So when did the Christian to a disciple? You become a Christian the moment you were born again. But to become a disciple is the moment you begin to transform, you know, to morph into God's ability, relying only on Him and not of yourself. Because we cannot rely on God's ability when we're allowing the markings of our heart speak louder than the markings of the cross. Because whenever we're hearing the markings of our heart louder than the cross, that means everything that we believe in the cross is false. We're neglecting the power of the cross when we hear our own markings. It's weird that sin wouldn't even dominate in the life of a believer who has access to God's ability, because grace sets me free from the power of sin. So we got to be able to remove it, to get up, break free from this power. In Matthew 16, it comes to a time when Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them about what's about to happen, about how he's going to suffer, but on the third day he will rise. And then Peter grabs Jesus to the side, and it says that Peter begins to rebuke the words that Jesus was speaking, because Peter didn't like the words he was saying. And then Jesus says this, it's 22 through 24, it's on the screen, but he says this, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Y'all remember this? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Excuse me. So the word taking up your cross, take up means remove. Take up means remove. And at the time, the cross, what the cross meant was punishment. Jesus went because he had to be punished. So when people saw the cross, they saw punishment. So what Jesus is saying here is that you got to take up your cross and follow me. You got to remove the punishment in your life. Remove the scars. Remove the tattoos. Remove the punishment in your life and follow me. Allow me to give you strength to remove the punishment in your life. Sorry, church. Darn video at the very beginning, I tell you. So how do we do it? Step one, we must confess. Step one, we must confess. First John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. It's time to break free from sin. And it's time to start living as he is in the light. Guys, we shouldn't look at confession as a scary thing. Actually, we should look at confession as our battle cry. We're saying that I am no longer going to let this sin, this marking, this disqualification rule in my life. It's kind of like the whole name it and claim it thing. I'm going to stand and speak this thing out to my friends and no longer am going to walk under this identity. It is not welcome in this place. Like 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, our bodies are a temple. Jesus wants to move in. I mean, he wants to move into your heart, church. It's like me whenever I rent a hotel room. I've had bad experiences with bad hotels. So really bad. So I like to get good hotel rooms when I rent a hotel room. And when I get a hotel room, I walk in, I got my bag, I put it down, I unzip it, and then I go to the drawers, and I start putting my stuff in the drawers. I go to the nightstand, get all my stuff out, and I put it in. I'm moving in. I go to the bathroom, I check the blow dryer, see if it's any good, and I'm like, yeah, it's not very good. I brought my own anyways. All right? I get all my bathroom stuff out, I get my towels out. I mean, I paid for it, so I'm going to use this room, even if it's for a night. And it sounds funny, but it's true. And my kids are the same way. I love it. There's one hotel we went to, and there's all these cubbies. And my son, Jude, went and took all the stuff that was in the cubbies and started putting all the shoes in each cubby. He's moving in. Because we paid for it. And church, that is Jesus into your life. He says, I paid for it, and I want to move in. It doesn't matter what you did. I paid a big price for you, and I want to move in. So will you allow me to move in? And to do that, you have to confess. Speak it and allow him to move into your life. Step two is this, to repent. And all repent is, guys, is this, change your mind. Just change your mind. Get a new perspective. Change your mind about sin. Are you ready to turn and go another way? All you have to do is believe in the truth that God made you righteous. Believe if Jesus works in your life, and grace will begin to reign in your life. You're no longer, you just got to change your mind on things about yourself and where you're standing with God. Because I tell you, you're no longer becoming, but you are. You're not trying to make the team, you already are on the team. And I tell you, the moment you think you have to become something or you have to go get something from God, it's that's the moment that you say to yourself in your own heart that I don't have it. And all that will do is keep you in your pain cycle for the rest of your life. So quit trying to make the team because you're on it already. So repent. Step number three is just receive grace. Simple as that. Receive. Let someone pray over you. So we need to confess. Find a friend. Confess to them. Change your mind on the perspective of what's going on and allow them to pray for you and receive the free gift of righteousness and allow God's ability to work in your life. The Holy Spirit give you a new identity instead of the false identity that you've given over yourself and that you've been listening to. Fill your heart with God's grace. All you have to do is believe. So you might ask, is my sin too powerful? Well, Romans 5:20 says, but where sin increase, grace abound all the more. So it does not matter how much you sin, his grace abounds. Well, does that mean I need to keep on sinning? I'll just keep on sinning. No. Come on back. How much grace can I get? Well, John 1:16 says, for in his fullness we have received grace upon grace, infinite measures of grace. You fall, you messed up, grace. The markings of your heart's just too hard for you today. You got grace upon grace. I was doing good, but then last night, if you just believe, there's grace upon grace. And this is when sanctification begins in our life. When we mess up, but yet we reach out to Christ. This inner man, Holy Spirit, becomes bigger and larger in life. Oh, I messed up. I hit a sin. It doesn't matter. God, please forgive me. Let's move on. Your grace, I need your ability in my life. Before too long, it hits and it bounces back. No longer your markings are defining who you are, but God's grace is giving you strength to overcome. So no longer are the scars in your life speaking truth. It's God's Spirit. His grace. So my last point would be this, the markings of the cross. Remember the markings of the cross. Because of the markings of Jesus from the cross, our markings, our own disqualifications have now turned from markings to... Our markings of disqualifications, of disqualification has now turned to markings of his grace. Our past disqualifications no longer define us with shame, but they glorify what Jesus did on the cross for us. He has given us a new testimony. Because Jesus went to the cross and received his own markings, has made now our markings a testimony of his grace, of his righteousness, of his ability, of his work in our life. And for so many years, I lived in a pain cycle believing that I had to go work my way into God's goodness, to receive righteousness in my life, to overcome my mistake. And like I said, all I was doing was getting in my own pain cycle, knowing that I was longing for Christ. But then I believed and received. And Allie threw my picture up for me. That's my girlfriend. Still my girlfriend. And this July, we'll celebrate 13 years. I'm actually very thankful because it's easy to remember because my daughter turns 13, and so then a few months after that, then we have 13 years of marriage. It helps me. And I don't know if that's my children right now, and I don't know if we'll stop or we'll keep going. We're still praying about that. Stop. Dad's saying stop. And the call of ministry that I had at a young age, restored. Because of God's ability. No longer are the scars of my life defining who I am. No longer am I hiding from what I've done. But because of the scars of the cross, He's given my scars a new testimony. A testimony of His grace. I remember, so recap Ephesians 2:8. For by God's ability, you have been saved through faith, church. And this is not of your own doing. You access this incredible grace by faith, by believing. Can you believe today for grace? Can you believe that you actually can receive a second innocence? And can you this morning, can you receive the free gift of righteousness through God's ability? This is Palm Sunday. We're getting ready for Easter next week. But this is the time that Jesus came riding in on a donkey. And so many agendas were going on in life at that moment. The Romans had their own agenda, trying to put a cap on things, trying to keep things calm. The Pharisees, well, you know their agenda. And then the people who were supposed to receive didn't even receive. And the scripture said that even if we didn't praise His name, that the rocks would cry out. And sometimes I can relate to that. Because before I even receive Christ into my heart and receive the grace of His ability in my life, my heart was like rock. From the markings of my life. And I always knew there was a longing inside of me that was longing for something. And it was the rocks crying out for Jesus and the cross. So today, we praise the name. Because even though with our own agendas and through our own tough time, He still rode in without receiving one thing and still took the punishment of the cross for us. And remember, church, this week, remember the Friday and the punishment He paid for each and every one of us. But remember, there's a Saturday. And He knows how that feels. That quietness. The pain. But remember, the story's not over. There's a Sunday. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we worship Jesus. God, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I pray that You help us see the markings of our life and help us to just hand them over to You, Jesus. And believing, God, that through Your ability, we can overcome through Your grace. Help us to receive that this morning. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.